Chapter 15, The New Moons, The Feast of the Seventh New Moon, or of Trumpets, or New Year's Day. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Colossians 2:16-17. The New Moons. Scarcely any other festive season could have left so continuous an impress on the religious life of Israel as the New Moons. Recurring at the beginning of every month, and marking it the solemn proclamation of the day by "It is sanctified," was intended to give a hallowed character to each month, while the blowing of the priest's trumpets and the special sacrifices brought would summon, as it were, the Lord's host to offer their tribute unto their exalted King, and thus bring themselves into remembrance before Him. Besides, it was also a popular feast when families, like that of David, might celebrate their special annual sacrifice, when the king gave a state banquet, and those who sought for instruction and edification resorted to religious meetings, such as Elisha seems to have held, 2 Kings 4:23. And so we trace its observance onwards through the history of Israel, marking in Scripture a special psalm for the new moon, in Tishri, Psalm 81:3, noting how from month to month the day was kept as an outward ordinance, even in the decay of religious life, apparently all the more rigidly with abstinence from work, not enjoined in the law, that its spirit was no longer understood, and finally learning from the prophecies of Isaiah and Ezekiel that it also had a higher meaning and was destined to find a better fulfillment in another dispensation when the new moon trumpet should summon all flesh to worship before Jehovah, Isaiah 66:23. And the closed eastern gate to the inner court of the new temple be opened once more to the believing Israel, Ezekiel 46:1. And in the New Testament times, we still find the new moon kept as an outward observance by Jews and Judaizing Christians, yet expressly characterized as a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The determination of the new moon. We have already shown of what importance the right determination of the new moon was in fixing the various festivals of the year, and with what care and anxiety its appearance was ascertained from witnesses who had actually seen it, also how the tidings were afterwards communicated to those at a distance. For the new moon was reckoned by actual personal observation, not by astronomical calculation, with which, however, as we know, many of the rabbis must have been familiar, since we read of astronomical pictures by which they were wont to test the veracity of witnesses. So important was it deemed to have faithful witnesses that they were even allowed, in order to reach Jerusalem in time, to travel on the Sabbath, and, if necessary, to make use of horse or mule. While strict rules determined who were not to be admitted as witnesses, every encouragement was given to trustworthy persons, and the Sanhedrin provided for them a banquet in a large building specially destined for that purpose and known as the Beth Yazek. The blowing of trumpets. In the law of God, only these two things are enjoined in the observance of the new moon, the blowing of trumpets and special festive sacrifices. Of old, the blowing of trumpets had been the signal for Israel's hosts on their march through the wilderness, as it afterwards summoned them to warfare, and proclaimed or marked days of public rejoicing and feasts, as well as the beginning of their months. The object of it is expressly stated to have been for a memorial, that they might be remembered before Jehovah, it being specially added, "I am Jehovah your God." It was, so to speak, the host of God assembled, waiting for their leaders, the people of God united to proclaim their king. At the blast of the priest's trumpets, they ranged themselves, as it were, under his banner and before his throne. And this symbolical confession and proclamation of him as Jehovah their God brought them before him to be remembered and saved. And so every season of blowing the trumpets, whether at new moons, at the Feast of Trumpets, or New Year's Day, at other feasts, in the sabbatical and year of Jubilee, or in the time of war, was a public acknowledgement of Jehovah as king. Accordingly, we find the same symbols adopted in the figurative language of the New Testament, as of old the sound of the trumpet summoned the congregation before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle, so his elect shall be summoned by the sound of the trumpet in the day of Christ's coming, Matthew 24:31. And not only the living, but also those who had slept, 1 Corinthians 15:52, the dead in Christ, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Similarly, the heavenly hosts are marshaled to the war of successive judgments in Revelation 8 and 10, till, as the seventh angel sounded, Christ is proclaimed King Universal. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15. The sacrifices of the new moon. Besides the blowing of trumpets, certain festive sacrifices were ordered to be offered on the new moon. These most approximately mark the beginning of months, for it is a universal principle in the Old Testament that the first always stands for the whole, the first fruits for the whole harvest, the firstborn and the firstlings for all the rest, and that if the first fruit be holy, the lump also is holy. And so the burnt offerings and the sin offerings at the beginning of each month consecrated the whole. These festive sacrifices consisted of 2 young bullocks, 1 ram, and 7 lambs of the first year for a burnt offering with their appropriate meat and drink offerings, and also of 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering unto Jehovah. When we pass from these simple scriptural directions to what tradition records of the actual observance of new moons in the temple, our difficulties increase. For this and New Year's Day are just such feasts, in connection with which superstition would most readily grow up, from the notions which the rabbis had that at change of seasons, divine judgments were initiated, modified, or finally fixed. Necessity for distinguishing the temple and synagogue use. Modern critics have not been sufficiently careful in distinguishing what had been done in the temple from what was introduced into the synagogue gradually and at much later periods. Thus, prayers which date long after the destruction of Jerusalem have been represented as offered in the temple, and the custom of chanting the Hallel, Psalms 113-118, on new moons in the synagogues have been erroneously traced to biblical times. So far as we can gather, the following was the order of service on new moon's day. The council sat from early morning to just before the evening sacrifice to determine the appearance of the new moon. The proclamation of the council, "It is sanctified," and not the actual appearance of the new moon, determined the commencement of the feast. Immediately afterwards, the priest blew the trumpets which marked the feast. After the ordinary morning sacrifice, the prescribed festive offerings were brought, the blood of the burnt offerings being thrown round the base of the altar, below the red line, and the rest poured out into the channel at the south side of the altar, while the blood of the sin offering was sprinkled or dropped from the finger on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, beginning from the east, the rest being poured out, as that of the burnt offerings. The 2 bullocks of the burnt offerings were hung up and flayed on the uppermost of the 3 rows of hooks in the court, the rams on the middle and the lambs on the lowest hooks. In all, no less than 107 priests officiated at this burnt offering, 20 with every bullock, 11 with every ram, and 8 with every lamb, including, of course, those who carried the appropriate meat and drink offerings. At the offering of these sacrifices, the trumpets were again blown. All of them were slain at the north side of the altar, while the peace and free will offerings, which private Israelites were wont at such seasons to bring, the flesh of the sin offering and what of the meat offering came to them, was eaten by the priests in the temple itself. Their portion of the private thank offerings might be taken by them to their homes in Jerusalem, and there eaten with their households. A prayer of the 3rd century A.D. If any special prayers were said in the temple on new moon's days, tradition has not preserved them, the only formula dating from that period being used on first seeing the moon, "Blessed be he that reneweth the months." To this the synagogue, towards the close of the 3rd century, added the following blessing: "Blessed be he by whose word the heavens were created, and by the breath of whose mouth all the hosts thereof were formed. He appointed them a law and time, that they should not overstep their course. They rejoice and are glad to perform the will of their Creator, Author of truth. Their operations are truth. He spoke to the moon, 'Be thou renewed, and be the beautiful diadem, the hope of man, of Israel, who shall one day be quickened again like the moon, at the coming of the Messiah, and praise their Creator for his glorious kingdom. Blessed be he that reneweth the moons.'" At a yet much later period, a very superstitious prayer was next inserted, its repetition being accompanied by leaping towards the moon. New Moon's Day, though apparently observed in the time of Amos as a day of rest, Amos 8:5, is not so kept by the Jews in our days, nor, indeed, was abstinence from work enjoined in the divine law. The moon of the seventh month, quite distinct from the other new moons and more sacred than they, was that of the seventh month, or Tishri, partly on account of the symbolical meaning of the seventh or sabbatical month, in which the great feasts of the Day of Atonement and of Tabernacles occurred, and partly, perhaps, because it also marked the commencement of the civil year, always supposing that, as Josephus and most Jewish writers maintain, the distinction between the sacred and civil year dates from the time of Moses. In Scripture, this feast is designated as the Memorial Blowing, or the Day of Blowing, because on that day the trumpets, or rather, as we shall see, the horns, were blown all day long in Jerusalem. It was to be observed as a Sabbath and a holy convocation in which no servile work might be done. The prescribed offerings for the day consisted, besides the ordinary morning and evening sacrifices, first, of the burnt offerings, but not the sin offering, of ordinary new moons with their meat and drink offerings, and, after that, of another festive burnt offering of one young bullock, one ram, and 7 lambs with their appropriate meat and drink offerings, together with one kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. While the drink offering of the festive sacrifice was poured out, the priests and Levites chanted Psalm 81, and if the feast fell on a Thursday, for which that psalm was, at any rate, prescribed, it was sung twice, beginning the second time at verse 7 in the Hebrew text, or verse 6 of our authorized version. At the evening sacrifice, Psalm 29 was sung, for reasons previously explained, chiefly to prevent possible mistakes. It became early common to observe the New Year's feast on 2 successive days, and the practice may have been introduced in temple times. The Mishnah on New Year's Day. The Mishnah, which devotes a special tractate to this feast, remarks that a year may be arranged according to 4 different periods, the first, beginning with the first of Nisan, being for kings, to compute taxation, and for computing the feasts, the second on the first of Elul, the 6th month, for tithing flocks and herds, any animal born after that not being reckoned within the previous year, the third on the first of Tishri, the 7th month, for the civil, the sabbatical, and the jubilee year, also for trees and herbs, and lastly, that on the first of Shabbat, the 11th month, for all fruits of trees. Similarly, continues the Mishnah, there are 4 seasons when judgment is pronounced upon the world: at the Passover, in regard to the harvest; at Pentecost, in regard to the fruits of trees; on the Feast of Tabernacles, in regard to the dispensation of rain; while on New Year's Day, all the children of men pass before him like lambs, when they are counted for the tithing, as it is written, Psalm 33:15, "He fashioned their hearts alike, he considereth all their works." The Talmud on the New Year. To this we may add, as a comment of the Talmud, that on New Year's Day three books were opened, that of life, for those whose works had been good, another of death, for those who had been thoroughly evil, and a third intermediate, for those whose case was to be decided on the Day of Atonement, 10 days after New Year's, the delay being granted for repentance or otherwise, after which their names would be finally entered, either in the Book of Life or in that of death. By these terms, however, eternal life or death are not necessarily meant. Rather, earthly well-being and perhaps temporal life, or the opposite. It is not necessary to explain at length on what scripture passages this curious view about the three books is supposed to rest. But so deep and earnest are the feelings of the rabbis on this matter that by universal consent the 10 days intervening between New Year and the Day of Atonement are regarded as days of repentance. Indeed, from a misunderstanding of a passage in the Mishnah, a similar superstition attaches to every new moon, the day preceding it being kept by rigid Jews as one of fasting and repentance, and called the Lesser Day of Atonement. In accordance with this, the rabbis hold that the blowing of the trumpets is intended, first, to bring Israel, or rather the merits of the patriarchs and God's covenant with them, in remembrance before the Lord. Secondly, to be a means of confounding Satan, who appears on that day specially to accuse Israel, and lastly, as a call to repentance, as it were, a blast to wake men from their sleep of sin. New Year's Day in Jerusalem. During the whole of New Year's Day, trumpets and horns were blown in Jerusalem from morning to evening. In the temple it was done, even on a Sabbath, but not outside its walls. Since the destruction of Jerusalem, this restriction has been removed, and the horn is blown in every synagogue, even though the feast fall upon a Sabbath. It has already been hinted that the instruments used were not the ordinary priest's trumpets, but horns. The Mishnah holds that any kind of horns may be blown except those of oxen or calves, in order not to remind God of the sin of the golden calf. The Mishnah, however, specially mentions the straight horn of the antelope and the bent horn of the ram, the latter with special allusion to the sacrifice in substitution of Isaac, it being a tradition that New Year's Day was that in which Abraham, despite Satan's wiles to prevent or retard him, had offered up his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. The mouthpiece of the horns for New Year's Day were fitted with gold, those used on fast days with silver. Another distinction was this. On New Year's Day, those who blew the horn were placed between others who blew the trumpets, and the sound of the horn was prolonged beyond that of the trumpets. But on the fast days, those who sounded the trumpets stood in the middle, and their blast was prolonged beyond that of the horn. For the proper observance of these solemn seasons, it was deemed necessary not only to hear but to listen to the sound of the horns, since, as the Mishnah adds, everything depends on the intent of the heart and not on the mere outward deed, just as it was not Moses lifting up his hands that gave Israel the victory, nor yet lifting up the brazen serpent which healed, but the upturning of the heart of Israel to their Father who is in heaven, or faith. We quote the remark not only as one of the comparatively few passages in the Mishnah which turn on the essence of religion, but as giving an insight into the most ancient views of the rabbis on these types, and as reminding us of the memorable teaching of our Lord to one of those very rabbis, John 3:14-15. The New Year's Blessings. The Mishnah mentions various berachoth, or benedictions, as having been repeated on New Year's Day. These, with many others of later date, still form part of the liturgy in the synagogue for that day, but there is internal evidence that the prayers, at any rate in their present form, could not have been used, at least in the temple. Besides, the rabbis themselves differ as to their exact amount and contents, and finally satisfy themselves by indicating that the titles of these benedictions are rather intended as headings to show their contents, and what special direction their prayers had taken. One set of them bore on the kingdom of God, and is accordingly called Malchiyoth. Another, Sikronoth, referring to the various kinds of remembrance on the part of God, while a third, called Shaparoth, consisted of benedictions connected with the blowing of the horn. It is said that anyone who simply repeated 10 passages from Scripture, according to another authority 3, bearing on the kingdom of God, the remembrance of God, and the blowing of horns, had fulfilled his duty in regard to these benedictions. The first day of the seventh month. From Scripture we know with what solemnity the first day of the seventh month as observed at the time of Ezra, and how deeply the people were moved by the public reading and explanation of the law, which to so many of them came like a strange sound, all the more solemn that after so long a period they heard it again on that soil which, as it were, bore witness to its truth. Nehemiah 8:1-12. In the New Testament there is no reference to our Lord having ever attended this feast in Jerusalem, nor was this necessary, as it was equally celebrated in all the synagogues of Israel. Yet there seems some allusion to the blowing of the horn in the writings of St. Paul. We have already stated that, according to Maimonides, one of its main purposes was to rouse men to repentance. In fact, the commentator of Maimonides makes use of the following words to denote the meaning of the blowing of trumpets: rouse ye from your slumber, awake, awake from your sleep, you who mind vanity, for slumber most heavy has fallen upon you. Take it to heart, before whom you are to give an account in the judgment. May not some such formula have been anciently used in the synagogue, and may not the remembrance of it have been present to the mind of the apostle when he wrote Ephesians 5:14, wherefore it is said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. If so, we may possibly find an allusion to the appearance of the new moon, especially to that of the seventh moon, in these words of one of the preceding verses, Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.